point of view.
Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.
I want us to start right here where the protest today in Kagiso unfortunately led to one person dying. On the line with us is Tyrone Gray, Executive Mayor of Mogale City. Sindile Nsibande is a community member. Sindile, thank you so much for making time to talk to us. Let me just make sure that I have your surname correct. What is your surname, Sindile?
My surname is Nsibande.
Nsibande.
Nsibande, without a T. N-S-I-B-A-N-D-E.
All right. Thank you so much for making time for us. You're a community member. Were you involved in the action today, in the protest action today?
Yes, we were definitely involved. We were involved before today, trying to organize, especially after what happened there in the mines. So we were involved in the morning by 5 o'clock, organized with SONAP, trying to come up with a strategy and also trying to tell the community how to behave during the marches. We are definitely involved.
What? How did it start, Cindy? Let's just maybe take us through. How did this get organized?
We've got the community groups that we formed in our wards as a community, not political parties. All political formations, all community members are involved. Whether you are young or old, you are in that group. So what we were doing, we were communicating via that group, because that's the easy way of spreading the message that, enough is enough with crime in Kagiso.
Mm-hmm.
We need to organize as a community. So leaders and community members were saying, let's combine, let's go to a certain area, let's have a meeting, let's mobilize and see what we can do for our community so that we can root out the crime in our area.
Mm-hmm. And did you have the meeting?
Yes, we did have a meeting today at 5 o'clock. So we mobilized and then we had a meeting. We strategized. We said, we're going to go out and look for these Zamazamas because we didn't want to rely on the police. We've been marching to the police station. We've been mobilizing police, but they were not helping us. Instead, they're acting as they are the enemies of the people. So we did that and then we went on the streets since from that morning. Till now, I only came back now in a few hours' time because electricity was gone.
Mm-hmm.
So we couldn't go because it's dark now. And it's one of the things that I'm not happy about because this thing is known. It's been on the news the whole day. But Eskom just decided to cut off the electricity. I'm not sure whether they see that by doing that, they can endanger the lives of the community.
Mm-hmm. You're saying that you have engaged the police or at least tried to go to the police a few times. Had you ever engaged the mayor?
The mayor is always on the ground.
Mm-hmm.
Even today he was on the ground. One thing that I will commend that mayor, I'm not a member of the DA, I'm not advocating for DA, but as a community person,
mm-hmm.
The mayor is always on the ground. Electricity issues is always on the ground. There's lots of improvement that is happening in Kagiso because of the mayor, because of that coalition government.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not going to talk about the political things.
Mm-hmm.
Even now, our infrastructure is intact. It was one of the most peaceful march that we've ever had in our community because the community did listen. They didn't want violence. They just wanted this Zamazama to go out. One of the things that the police are always doing, they try to provoke the community. You cannot come as a police after 4 hours of people being on the ground and you just shoot without understanding why. We were catching these guys. When we catch them, obviously part of the community, some of the communities will beat them up.
Mm-hmm.
That one we won't deny it as
mm-hmm.
a community. They will beat them up, but we call the police, wait for them. If they don't come, we tie up these guys, we leave them there, we guard them. Some people are guarding them, we move on to other areas. When the police come, you can see even in the news, even the photos that we have. And then we put them in the police vans. So that's how we were organizing this march. The Mawelas, the provincial commissioner, they came in late, and they started going to the mine shafts with some of our leaders to go and find these Zamazamas. And we found some more Zamazamas with the police. So this collaboration with the police, it's a very good collaboration. And the mayor being on the ground, nobody's hostile with the mayor because the mayor is has shown us that he's one of the people who understand what is happening on the ground.
It sounds to me like you've now come to an understanding with the police and you're working together. Does that mean that now tensions have calmed down between the community and the police now?
The things have already been down. We've never been hostile with the police, but we warn the police that don't do that. Don't act as if now we, as the community, you know, there's this tendency of the police trying to make the community look bad, as if now the community, police, they have a tendency of provoking the community, even if it's a peaceful thing. When you start shooting, people will start throwing stones, but we managed to avoid that whole thing because it was going to be a mess. And in the middle, it will look like the community is fighting. We are unruly, we're doing this. At the same time, the police will come on TV or on radio and say, let's work together, the hooligans, we don't want hooligans. We told the shops, the spazas, close down. Everything is a shutdown. Close everything down. We don't want anybody to be hurt. The clinics were protected. Schools were protected. Everything, even now, things are still okay, even though there's no electricity. I'm at home right now. Mm-hmm. But things are calm. We went to the shaft there. One of the things that we've realized today, we even told the police that, you know, the minister of Geremantash must come into Kagiso and see those tunnels. Those tunnels now are going straight to the homes of the residents. One day those homes are going to sink in. That's one of the things that I want the mayor to address. Mm-hmm. Because those homes are going to sink in. Those guys are just digging. Mm-hmm. They don't have a direction. They're underground. They just dig and dig. So those mines need to be closed. Mm-hmm. But we had a peaceful, even now we had a peaceful. I don't know what's going to happen at night because we are back at home. We are hoping that the police now will take over and patrol the area.
So what do you know about the death of the one person?
About it? Can you repeat that?
The death of the one person that died.
We heard about the death of one person because they said it was in a Chendo area. Remember, we are running around, we are doing all sorts of things. So we haven't heard anything about from the leaders that side of what exactly happened. I don't want to speculate and say it's because of this and that, because Kagiso is a big area, and most of the day we spend it on the mountains there next to the mine shaft. So we don't know exactly what happened there. Maybe the mayor had had some information and just tell us what has happened. But we didn't know about that one. On our side, on this side, we were marching. Nobody was hurt. People were beaten up, of course, but nobody died on our side here around Kagiso. We were at Riverside. We went to Extension 8, went to Mobile. We went to Soul City. There were two shacks that were burned there. And people, I heard on the news, some people are saying they were burning houses. No, we went to those shacks. Those shacks, when we got there, it was an establishment for the Zamazama. They were doing the whole thing. So we burned that shack because we don't even know who it belongs to.
But people are housing these Zamazamas in their back rooms and so on. So, you know, for instance, they will come back tonight to their back rooms. Have you sought out, you know, this whole thing through? As you're saying, you're not sure if the police are going to be around to patrol. What's your plan going forward?
At about 3:30, before I came home, at 3:30, 4:00, Mobile, that side. The other group, they went there because we're communicating via the groups that we have. They went at Mobile, where those people are renting. We went to those houses. We warned the people who are owning those houses that one day people are going to burn your houses because of these people. You must not put these people. We know you are poor, you want some money, but these people are doing crime. So you cannot hide them here. So those sheikhs that belongs to the Zamazamas were banned. So that's when the media got it wrong. During the day, the media was superb. I don't want to lie. But there, they got it wrong because they thought we were banning the house itself. We're not banning the house. We're banning the shack, and we're taking out those, you know, those pipes that they're using to burn, those gas pipes. We're taking them off, giving them to the police, and burning all those things. They are clothes and everything that was there. The shacks were demolished. Those are the things that we've done. Nobody's house was burned in Kagiso. But we warned the community that let's not put the criminals in our own yards for the sake of money. This is our life. So one day they will kill you yourself in your house, and we wouldn't know. We will think it's your relative.
So again, what's the plan tomorrow? What's the plan going forward?
Tomorrow we said, because this thing was a one-day thing. If you can check in our social media, so it was a one-day thing for today, but we're still going to monitor, and we're pleading to the police that they should engage the community so that we don't mind marching with them. But as a community, we've decided that this thing is going to be an ongoing thing. We're still going to sit down with the community and see how we're going to plan, but it must be an ongoing thing, because if we relax, they'll come back, because those shafts are not closed. Until the government does something, because the government also needs to play a part by closing those mine shafts so that those people cannot go in there, even the mining area. I heard one of the topics that the politicians were saying, and other organizations, that we must take these mines and transform them and make them mines that are legal. No, they cannot be legal. Those mines are not safe. The mining companies that have left those mines, they've left them with reason. There's nothing there. It's only crumbs. Yes, they are getting something with the zamas, but it's risky, that's right. Nobody can mine there. Who's going to monitor? You know our country. Nobody monitors anything. Our infrastructure is there. Who's going to monitor those people if you cannot monitor things that are outside of those holes? If you can see those holes, you will never believe. Those holes are so deep. There's no structure that is holding that hole. Nobody has experience of how they should protect people if that mine caves in. So those mines need to be closed. Yes, the smaller Nyana gold that is left there where the Zamazama are looking for, it's fine. But close them, because if you keep on digging and digging, you will end up making a whole lot of damage. So the government needs to come to a party as well.
Mr. Msimandi, thank you so much for your time. He's a community member there, part of the protest today that was in Kagiso. Let me bring in the executive mayor who's been listening to this conversation. Thanks for your patience. And I know that you were listening, Mr. Gray. It sounds to me like there is a sort of a plan with the community to deal with crime. Of course, I do feel that the police came into this quite late. Is there a plan going forward in collaborating properly with the police?
Oh, 100%, yes. There is definitely a plan. In fact, we have a formalized structure. It is, I don't know where else in South Africa it's present, but I know it's a first in the history of Mogale City. It's called a Section 79 Committee. It's a form of grey power, but it's nothing to do with my surname. It's to do with the fact that it's unusual that a council committee, which is normally composed of officials and councillors, is now able to expand and co-opt members of the public. So, for instance, let's say yourself, you're a expert in the security cluster or illicit mining. We will then co-opt you on an ad hoc basis onto the committee, and then we will coordinate private security, public safety, SAPS, technocrats, consultants, etc., in order to roll out programs of law and order and also safely create an environment where the residents are protected in Mogale City. We embarked on the IDP process, and this was one of the issues that the community raised. We then started embarking. I requested intervention from national and provincial around about three months ago.
Okay.
In the meantime, while I was waiting for that assistance, we started our own program of action.
Mm-hmm.
So what we do is, it's quite a delicate operation because I don't want to cause anyone pain.
Yep.
We then do loud hailing. We then use intelligence. We actually go through the shafts, and then once we know that they are cleared, we use a TLB, we fill it with rubble, we back actor it, and then we collapse those entrances. Obviously, some of the tunnels, for instance, from Akulagama, which is close to West Village, there's a tunnel that's alleged that the entrance terminates all the way in Cartonville, which means these tunnels go for kilometers and kilometers. In specific, in Sol City, there's actually also an underground river there. So if anyone finds themselves in a precarious situation, they can also be completely swept away and lost in these underground tunnels. It's a very, very dangerous situation. However, we are committed to partnering and supporting SAPS along with private security and public safety to roll out more of these coordinated events. We don't want to see vigilantism in Doton, because I had to intervene. They had taken a foreign national. I can't confirm whether he was a Zamazama or not, and they had beaten him quite severely. They had also stripped him naked, and then they wanted to start the necklacing process. However, I intervened. I explained that this is not how we are going to do things. We need a more disciplined approach. We only restrain and we let the police take over from then. We took the gentleman and we took him into the van and then took him to Leratong Hospital for treatment. We also had to call an ambulance in for some of the other foreign nationals that found themselves requiring medical care.
Mr. Mayor, what do we know about the one individual that died?
Well, I was actually on scene at that unfortunate incident. However, I arrived after the incidents had taken place, and then the body was lying in the middle of the road there by Shamdor. The police had cornered it off as a crime scene. But what I do know, he must have suffered some form of head injury because his head was covered with a cardboard and there was quite a large stream of blood that flowed into the road, across the road. It must have been a head injury of sorts.
But who was he? Do we know?
Well, you see, when I remember the dress, it doesn't seem like he was entirely covered in, like, soil and stuff. Normally, Zamazamas tend to be, like, completely covered in dust or dirt while they're doing their activities. And it didn't seem like that. Whether he was a Zamazama or a foreign national or a citizen, I'm aware of that. The police are still busy identifying. But, yes, it is unfortunate that a person passed away.
Do we have a sense of, what could have happened to him? I know you say it was a head injury, but do we know what sort of may have happened? And I know this is not conclusive.
So, yes, it isn't conclusive. I don't think it would have been a shooting. However, I can't confirm or deny that, but I think it must have been maybe a stone was thrown because it was quite a isolated event. It wasn't like an issue that we had to intervene. Mm-hmm. It happened quite quickly, mm-hmm. and then when we got there, the person had already passed away. We'll have to investigate with SAPS.
You speak of having to request national government to intervene, and while you're waiting for that process to happen, you've now come up with a plan yourself. What is taking so long? This is, and maybe let me ask, which national department are you talking to?
All the national departments. The petition we've crafted will also then be tabled at Parliament for debate on the motion. However, given the volume of illicit mining and given that it is a highly syndicated event, it's not like it's simply a group of individuals using their pandukas, having electrical connections or breaching the water line. The entire value chain means that there is, from the informal market, it's being regularized somewhere. This means there are quite high role players in terms of the mining houses or mm-hmm. anyone that has smelting, etc.
Yes. Yes.
Because when gold is exported, it needs bullion marks and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not saying this is the situation, but when we start doing investigations, it seems that because of the high syndication levels, we need all the spheres of government to be involved, not just Department of Mineral Resources and Energy in terms of rehabilitation, permits, license, due diligence, et cetera, by the mining houses, but we also need the Department of Forestry to come in to ensure the areas are clean. A lot of the mining areas have a lot of, let's say, wattles, because they were used in terms of some of the support mechanisms. These need to be cleared out. And then we also need the Justice Ministry to effect the prosecutions. We know that we have a problem with deportation and repatriation because of a constitutional court ruling. We also need the President to consider applying his political responsibility in terms of Section 201 of the Constitution. There are three instances where you are allowed, as the Commander-in-Chief and the head of the National Executive, as the President of a country, to deploy security forces for a certain time, for a certain amount of complements, and for a certain reason. And one of those reasons is either in defense of the Republic, in cooperation with SAPS, and to fulfill an international obligation. Now, what I'm requesting is to bolster the support for the SAPS. However, in the meantime, it's why we created the Storm Committee. So that's the committee I was talking about in terms of strategic Tactical Operations Response Management, and then we will facilitate additional resources, collaboration, and empowerment for the community so that when we do operations, we avoid any unnecessary violence or loss of life.
I'm struck by the efforts that you are making to get national government to do something. So on the face of it, I get what's trying to, you know, what you're trying to do and what they are trying to do. But I'm struck by the fact that it seems to me like nothing had been happening. Just from a basic point of criminality. First of all, you do have mines that were meant to have been environmentally closed up, cleaned up, and so on, so that the area is rehabilitated. That has not happened. I don't know why we would need national cooperation and, you know, an entire operation for just police to do their job, or anybody, somebody to just do what's already legislated.
We share the exact same sentiment. I shouldn't have to petition government to do its work. However, that's the reality of the matter. It is something I have inherited, and it's something I need to champion and regularize to support the communities. There are five things in terms of local governments. These are the Section 152. It's accountable and democratic governments. It's sustainable provision of services to communities. It's promoting social and economic development. It's promoting a safe and healthy environment, and it's involving the local communities and civic organizations in the matters of local government. These are the objects of local government. Obviously, we can only do so within our financial and administrative means. However, we are working tirelessly to craft these frameworks so that going forward, we can develop a more safer future for our communities. Because at the end of the day, it's the community that is best placed to secure itself.
But so when you engage with the police, wasn't there ever a plan to do anything about the criminality?
Look, I can't speak for the past engagements with the police because I've only been executive mayor for 8 months now.
Sure.
However, I have a very healthy working relationship with both the Provincial Commissioner, Lieutenant General Mawela, as well as District Commissioner, Major General Kakana. I think we have been together almost every day for like 2 weeks about. I also assist the SAPS in their operations with Okomalau. It helps them because there's also times when the community is very hostile or outright rude to SAPS. So when we have like a roadblock to check drunken driving or licenses, when I'm there engaging with the motorist, they tend to ease up and be more cooperative and understand that we're only doing this for their safety as well. We also regularize taverns. So if the tavern is operating over 2 o'clock, we go in, we say, guys, it's enough now. We know there are issues around the country. Let's all have safe fun. I want people to have fun, but they must also do it responsibly so. And actually, at first, I thought sometimes when people are inebriated or intoxicated, they lose their inhibitions and maybe don't think 100%. But I was pleasantly surprised. All of the taverns that we go into and stuff, the community members actually thank us. They say, thank you for protecting us. Thank you for assisting us. There have been instances where there are isolated events of like, you know, irate or angry residents. But most of the cases, when we facilitate joint operations like this, it really does assist in terms of holding, A, the police to account, but also ensuring that the residents cooperate with the operations.
Let me just take a call. Elise is calling us from Four Ways. Elise, thanks for calling. Good evening.
Hello, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for your patience, Elise. Are you driving, Elise? Can you hear us? Oh, that line is not good. Let me try and see if we can't get you on a better line. Mr. Gray, maybe, you know, as a final point, what's the way forward? I know that you've got plans with the police and that you are working very closely with national government to try and get some things going. But with the community, isn't there a concern of perhaps retaliation from the Zama Zamas?
Yes, indeed, that is one of my major concerns today. It is why I mobilized additional resources, and I want to thank the private security companies in Mogale City. Thank you very, very much. You know exactly who you are. They have been mobilized to do added patrols in the area. And going forward, in terms of having a sustainable future, I want to have more community-based patrollers. It is why I have also requested MEC Mazibuko to assist with PPE for the patrollers, such as radio networks, torches, reflective vests, etc., so that they can also do the patrols in the area and keep their own community safe. She did respond to my letter to say it is at procurement at the Gauteng legislature. So I will keep following up so that we can get those necessary resources into the community.
Well, I must say, I've got to thank you for making time for us. I've got to thank you for being available on a day like this. Thank you very much, Tyrone Gray, Executive Mayor of Mogale.
Want me to stay on to answer questions?
Yes. Well, he is back now, actually. Lies, good evening. Hi.
Yeah, look, I was saying that when I look at this matter, I'm like, at the end of the day, we might look for higher structures. But everybody has a role to play. Even at the ground level, we have the white blood cells. We have councillors, for example. Those are part of the government structures that need to oversee all the activities that are happening in their wards or in the areas that they are working on. What are the things that have been done from that primary structure level regarding these illegal minings? I mean, every day we have people are invading the land, and nothing has been done. People will just grab the land, take it, but nobody's monitoring the activities that are happening at that level. Because at the end of the day, you might want to deal with the heart, but you need to check, is everything okay in the white blood cells? You get what I'm saying? Because people are not about muscle, I'm not about worry. They need to push the agenda of compliance and making sure that the area that they work in is compliant with all pieces of legislation. What is their job? As much as you want the high level of the structures. But at the end of the day, the community is reacting to things that they don't want in the area, and they choose people to lead them so that they can protect them. The primary job of any structure of the government is to protect. So when you are doing your investigation, my question is, or when you are implementing any mitigations, do you start at that level to check what actually is what needs to be done being done? What have they done at the ground level to make sure these things can be avoided? Because at the end of the day, there's a lot of things that are involved. People can die. That thing can collapse. The real estate might be compromised. Sinkholes might come out. So it's not only the project. Linear projects are affected. You know, water pipes needs to cross. Electricity needs to cross. And when you have such activities happening, they always become a problem. Because at the end of the day, those people are causing, for example, artificial water courses. When they need to do linear projects, it's difficult because now they need to move services.
Let me give him a chance to respond because we've got to go now. Mr. Gray, please, won't you respond to Lice, please?
Yes, indeed. He has a very relevant input. However, we must also remember that while we are a unitary government, the different spheres of government have different competencies. So Schedule 4 and Schedule 5 of the Constitution details what the functional competencies of each of the spheres are. And let's take housing, for instance. While local government would love to roll out housing, it's actually a functional competency of both national and provincial governments. Things like healthcare, housing, education actually falls outside of the sphere of local government. Local government is able to roll out the bulk infrastructure such as the water, the sewage, the electricity, but it's province that actually builds the top structures.
All right, I'm going to have to leave it there. I suspect we may have to speak again some other time. Tyrone Gray is Mogale City Mayor.
Point of View. Monday to Thursday, 8 to 10 p.m.